Welcome, everybody, to the R&R CatCast, a fan-based podcast focusing on Montana State athletics. We're two dudes named Ryan from the state of Washington talking about our dear Montana State. We hope you enjoy. All right, welcome back, Bobcat fans. Thanks for joining us on another episode of the R&R CatCast. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Foley. He's your host, Ryan Thornburg. We are the Ryans of the R&R, the Montana State affiliate of the Big Sky Podcast Network. And we have a sweet sponsor this year, Gear Up Sports, a youth sports platform focusing on solving a uniform and apparel headache for coaches. If you're a high school or a youth coach and need uniforms or player packs, please contact them at www.gearupwithus.com. Make sure to mention the R&R CatCast. We know spring sports are right around the corner. Time to get those uniforms. Hey, Thorny. We're here, buddy.
We're here.
It doesn't feel good.
It has not been a fun 3 weeks of Montana State sports in general. Like, it's been kind of rough on a lot of fronts, but in particular football, but we're here. We're going to talk about it, going to get it off our chests, and hopefully we'll feel better in the end.
I'm glad you mentioned that, man. I feel beat up as a Cat fan right now. Just absolutely whipped. Coming off Cat Grizz, and then last week, and oh, man, and then, oh, today, the transfer portal opened, and it's sucking players left and right into the portalness and then spitting them out in places where there's tons of money. It's the Wild West, man. It is absolutely wild what's happening in college football right now.
It's basically just a free agent market, and apparently there's no rules or regulations at all. They're supposed to be, but they're so easily subverted that it doesn't matter. A coach just say, hey, he'll tell him his players, you go reach this player, you go call this player you know over on this team, and tell him we got some before him, and that way his hands are clean. It's awful. But it is what it is. So you got to adapt or die.
It feels different this year, though. It feels like the pinnacle of it, almost. Like, last year, we weren't really worried about it. I guess maybe because we were still playing football at this time. That's one thing. Like, we avoided this date. Last year, this would have been last year for us, in part. But we avoided it because we were still playing in the playoffs. So,
well, now, I mean, if you read the Twitter rumors about North Dakota State players having anywhere from 3 to 6 of them having like six-digit NIL figures offers on the table, you know, I don't know if it matters now. I think it's gone. Every year, it's gotten a little bit more like outlandish, like more bold. Like, teams just keep pushing it, and no, they don't get caught and pushing it. And this year, there's just like, it's just Wild West. Because everyone realizes there's like no penalties for any of this. So now they're just straight up like offering deals. So you don't have to take it right away. You can still be on the team and just like, yeah, I'll take it. Just give me a couple weeks to finish playing my team. I think the guys are probably already committed. You're not supposed to be able to do that, but I'm pretty sure. I don't know if it would have mattered. I think Montana State players, Rush Reimer, all those guys would have probably left regardless if we play football for 3 more weeks or not.
Yeah. You can make an argument for that. Past seasons, you've been the guy who's been kind of pro portal or just pro decision for the player.
I still am. It just sucks. There's supposed to be some regulations around it. There's just not. So I'm more mad at the institution failing it, have any sort of control over it. But players should be able to do that. So I'm still on the player side here.
All right.
You're not going to get me to ever say, man, that players shouldn't be able to go transfer to another school and take some money.
No, I'm not trying to get you to say anything. I just wanted to know how you felt on this, because way back when we used to talk before the R&R and transfer portal was starting, like, you were very pro it. You're like, hey, the player should be able to do anything he wants. And that's when like a lot of feelings were being conjured up. Like, where's the loyalty in this? And, he's not tough enough. He can't wait it out and wait his turn to play and all this stuff. And so there's this, all these competing narratives in the media and in our conversations. And I just wanted to know where you landed on this. Are you still pro player? And you are. I appreciate that.
Steady I am. I am, but I'm still grumpy that my team is being poached.
So it's not a either or, but both and for you.
Like, yeah, sure.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for that little banter.
Yeah.
Listener, if you've never listened to us, thanks for joining us. We're two dads, two alums, proud alums of the Montana State Bobcats. And we continue talking about the Bobcats here on a weekly basis. And we give our takes on what we think's going on. So
no matter how joining us, tough it may be and how sad we might be, how disgruntled we may be, we're here delivering that content.
All right, Thorny. So we talked about the show rundown before we got on. I'm going to forget it all, but I'm going to guess we're going to definitely we'll talk about North Dakota State. That will be the back end of the show. We'll get into the news, what's come on just recently, Golden Cooley questions. And I think that's it. There's no presser today. There was no Coach Vegan in front of the media, so there was nothing to report on there.
Sounds good. Yeah, there's not much to talk about in the news in some ways, but there's some real big news to talk about, which we kind of just alluded to and complained about already. We'll give the details in a minute. But first, you want to get into the Cooley segment?
What's in our Golden Cooleys?
What's in your Golden Cooley?
What's in your Golden Cooleys brought to you by Wilbur Ellis. Go see Shea Richter and Company up in Fort Benton and the Golden Triangle for all of your farming and fertilizer needs. I've been sick since kind of Saturday, apparently both mentally and physically. So all I have tonight is tea, just some tea with some honey in it to make me feel a bit better.
What kind of tea do you got?
I don't know, some lavender chamomile, something or other, whatever was in the cupboard, which I just doused with honey.
I had tea today. I've been on a tea kick. I'm not a tea guy. I'm more of a coffee guy, but this local coffee house next to our school, I skip school during my prep period and I walk over there. And one day I was feeling kind of just under the weather. It was kind of like back when I was missing some of the episodes, and a lady goes, "Hey, I can make you something." And she made me this ginger turmeric tea with honey and then steamed coconut milk. Like, okay, I'll try it. And it was delicious. I was like, so
did it
help? Go get those every once in a while. Oh, yeah. It whether it helped me or not, mentally made me feel better. And it was just really good. I really enjoyed the steamed coconut milk. I've never had that before. And so I get it pretty often now. And it's a good alternative to coffee. And I like it. I like that ginger, too. It's pretty good stuff. All right. I just took a swig of the Red Hook ESB Extra Special Bitter. I had these in my garage fridge for a couple of weeks now. I haven't tapped into these. I know I debuted them a while back. Maybe this might have been like pre-Eastern Washington. So
I think it's fitting. I'm extra special bitter right now.
You are, man. You're kind of salty. I think this is going to be a good episode for you. You're just going to, you have to let this out. You just have to talk your way through it, because at the end, if you're not feeling better by the end of this, then Ryan, I don't know what to do for you, buddy.
I don't know. I wasn't really feeling that way up until I got on the microphone with you, and all of a sudden I'm just like grumpy old man over here. So we'll see. Please, we'll see where this goes. I know, right? I don't know. I've kind of come to terms with the loss and everything, but I don't know, the portal thing today, I just wasn't really expecting it to be so hard and furious, so that put me kind of in a bad mood, I guess.
Yeah. Well, capitalism.
Yeah, capitalism. All right, let's move on to the news, huh?
All right, well, I'll pick one subject to talk about, and then you'll pick one. I guess we'll just go back and forth.
How many are there?
Jeff Choate, man. I just got to mention Jeff Choate to Nevada, head coach. Got to feel happy for Nevada. They're getting a good coach. Happy for Coach Choate. You mentioned you don't know how he's going to do in a sub-tier program. He's a builder. He's a recruiter. He's a motivator. I think he's going to do just fine.
I think he'll probably do fine, but he enjoyed some amenities at Montana State comparative to the rest of the league and the rest of the national landscape that he's not going to have in Reno. So we'll see. But if anyone's going to bring that kind of stuff to Reno, I mean, Jeff Choate's going to be the guy for sure.
Happy for Coach Choate. Yeah, he definitely deserves a head coach opportunity. Cheers to him.
I suppose.
All right. In other news, Boise State hired a coach, so that means Coach Vegan's sticking around. Cheers to that.
Well, cheers to that. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. It was rubbing me the wrong way after the losses about missing Choate, wanting Choate back, memes of Choate. It kind of rubbed me the wrong way. So I don't know. Jeff Choate, whatever. Right? He's gone. He's not here. Exactly. Bobcat Nation is still way too attached to Jeff Choate.
Yeah, they are. And I constantly remind myself, he left.
He didn't fire him. Yeah.
He left. It's like the girlfriend that dumped you and you're still pining for her. Like, she left, dude. Like, at one point, you just got to cleave and go, yeah.
Yeah, I'm more nervous now. Okay, Jeff Choate's at a school. Now he's the head coach. Is he going to start poaching Montana State players that he recruited? I mean, that's more, I'm on the negative side of things.
Yeah, you are.
Are the guys that left today going to go join Choate over there?
How many players do you speculate that are on the current staff right now? Or not the current staff, the current roster that you think that could happen to?
I don't know. Probably not many.
I would assume he might take more Texas guys.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he'll try and do that, too.
Yeah.
For sure.
Guys who are, like, buried on the depth chart say, hey, man, we got a spot for you. We're going to build this program around you. He might come back to Montana State to pick some out of the coffers, but I'm not sure. I wouldn't assume many would go, but you never know. It's wild right now.
You don't know right now, man. You just don't know.
It's wild. It's wild.
I don't want to speculate on anybody else, so I'm not going to really name any names, but that wouldn't surprise me if one or two players ends up in over in Reno.
All right. So let me paint a picture, though, for you, though, Ryan, because I think I could maybe balance you out a little bit. Montana State sells out all their home games. We have a phenomenal, phenomenal fan base. Would a player want to play there? Yes. You bring a player to our home atmosphere, their socks are going to get blown off. Number two, Bobcat Athletic Center. That thing's a beauty. Number three, we're going to have an indoor practice facility done by this time next year, probably. That's going to be amazing. Like, there are so many reasons to stay around Montana State. Not only that, you get to be a Bobcat. I know you and I hold that dear in our hearts. Like, that's why we do this stinking podcast. Other guys feel that too, man. Players feel that. I guarantee it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's plenty of guys that, I mean, we've talked about this. I've said this on the podcast before. Not many guys' dream school is Montana State or the FCS, period. Most of those guys coming out of high school wanted more than the FCS school. But we've had guys come to Montana State with that exact mentality, and they just fall in love with it, and they're Bobcats for life, and they're best decision they ever made. And that's going to happen to every year to certain players. But there's always going to be guys out there that are always in the back of their mind thinking, I should be somewhere a bit better than this.
Yeah, maybe. I get that. But if you look around the group of five schools, Montana State has pretty much everything they have and better in a lot of ways. We sell out our crowds. We have great home field advantage. We have great facilities, getting even better facilities. Like, I don't know what you walk around campus. Take a look at the campus. Look at the town. There's a ton selling Montana State. So
no, and we put guys in the NFL too. Not at exactly. a huge Whatever. High rate, but it happens. You can get to the NFL from Montana State. There's a lot of positives, and I don't want to knock Montana State or anything like that. But I'm just saying, like, that's not the main. That's not what guys are looking for when they're coming out of, like, Iowa or something, or like a guy getting recruited out of Washington. You know, they're looking for hire. And you hope that they fall in love with it and become Bobcats for life. But if someone's going to offer them some money and flashy things like, hey, we got a coaching staff here that's proven to put your position into the NFL, blah, blah, blah. There's going to be lots of things to entice players away.
Absolutely. I was putting myself in position. You texted me early about Mark Gronkowski, rumored to have a $1 million offer from Iowa.
That was Zach.
Okay. Well,
but yes, there you go. The rumor's out there. Yes.
21, 22 years old. You get offered $1 million to go play in the Big Ten. I don't care how dedicated you are.
You're stupid not to do it. Stupid.
Exactly. Exactly.
Especially since a lot of these guys get these NIL deals, they're never going to be a pro player.
Exactly.
So you're never going to have a chance to make $200,000, $300,000, $1 million to play the sport you love ever again. Like, do it.
Good point.
So do it.
I've thought about that.
That's why I am always on the player's side. So it just sucks being at a school in a program at a level of football where it's going to be, you're not going to be the one luring away ever. You're going to be the ones getting poached. That's just where we are on the totem pole.
Yeah. Montana State's in a position where we can develop these guys. We can give them some NIL. We have that Bobcat Collective with Brandon Van Cleave.
Which is a great thing. I'm really glad that they stepped up and got that going.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, it's kind of, we could go back and reread the article I wrote, the lone article I ever wrote for this podcast, this media conglomerate that we have, about Danny Sprinkle leaving. It's like, you just got to enjoy the really great players while they're here, because not many of them will stick around for the full tilt at Montana State. Coaches, if you're a really good coach, you're probably going to be gone. If you're a really good player, they're more likely to stay around if you're a really good player. But, you know, there's going to be good chances that really good players are going to move on before their career is done at Montana State. You just got to enjoy them while they're here. That's the mindset you have to have. Because otherwise, you're just going to be pissed off all the time about the portal.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm not sure it's always going to stay like that, but for now,
maybe the pendulum will swing back. There's still the COVID year with a bunch of guys with extra eligibility laying around, so it's still a little bit of a mess, and things are still feeling a way out. But yeah, for now, you can't get too mad about it.
Speaking of a COVID year, there was I was watching the Idaho Vandals Southern Illinois game, and one of the defensive linemen for Southern Illinois was on his 8th year of college football.
Party on, man.
Van Wilder.
if you can work it out, do it, man. Do it. The real world sucks. Stay in college as long as you can. Play the sport you love. Party on. Like, what are you doing, though? You got to be doing grad school, right?
He had like 2 grad degrees at that point. He took off his helmet, and this guy's a full-grown man, and he's there next to some freshmen.
It's like 26-year-old guy.
He's like a 19-year-old kid. Gray hair's coming in on the side. Just joking. But yeah, this is just 8th year. Who's the guy from Sac State that was doing that?
Kevin Thompson.
Yeah.
Who retired when he still had a year of eligibility left. He could have played one more year, giving it one more go at UW, or transferred somewhere else. Yeah. Probably would have transferred somewhere else.
Imagine that. And then being like trying to pick your college courses, your 8th year of college, and you're like, I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm going to take elective billiards. Let's go play some pool. Right? What are you going to do? What are you going to do at that point? What is your course catalog? What's your day look like?
Yeah, I'm sure Kevin Thompson was wishing like the NIL money was back then, because he'd be like, I don't have anything going on. You want to pay me $150,000 to come to your school and play football? I'll take billiards. Get paid $150,000. Yeah, let's do this.
Exactly.
All right.
Well, all this is leading into some actual news about the portal. Let's actually talk about why we're ranting about the portal right now. We had 3 offensive linemen announce their intentions, or announce they're going to enter into the transfer portal. Omar Abedian, Rush Reimer, and Jacob Kettles. And Also, Jace Fitzgerald, the linebacker out of Dillon?
Mm-hmm.
Dillon. I can't remember if it was Dillon. Yeah, so four players, first day that the portal is open, have announced that they're going to transfer from Montana State into the transfer portal. And I imagine, especially Omar and Rush, they're going to have a new team real fast.
Probably already do.
That's what happened with Session, remember?
Yeah.
TJ Session, like, he announced it, and then, like, it was, like, less than 24 hours he, like, announced he was committed to Cal. It's like, you can't tell me that there wasn't any tampering when guys announced their commitment so fast after entering the portal. It was lined up. There's no way it's not.
So I don't have social media, but you and Zach were texting me the pictures. It looks like these guys are using the same fonts. The person who put them together must have put all these together.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder, is Montana State doing this for them?
I don't know. I mean, it would be probably smart of them to do it, to help them out in any way that you can.
What's that meeting like? Hey, Coach Vegan, can I speak to you? What's that like?
I don't know.
Is it awkward?
I doubt it. I doubt it.
Yeah. I don't know. I bet it is awkward. How can it not?
Probably a tough thing.
Kind of letter to say. Intent.
It all depends on how you're feeling, though. I mean, if you're wanting to get out because you don't like your situation or unhappy, then you're probably happy to go get it over with.
Coach Vegan shame them as they walk out the door?
Nah, man. Vegan's a nice guy. He would, like you said, he'd write the letter of recommendation himself kind of guy. That's the kind of guy Vegan is.
Is it once a Bobcat, always a Bobcat?
I don't know. I don't know what you mean by that, I guess.
Will you hold the players who go into the portal, like Fonse, Bidian, Reimer, do you hold them in high regard after they transfer?
Not really, no.
Yeah. I think as a fan, I'm leaning that way too.
I'll be honest, like, I'm happy for them. I wish them the best. Once you're like, if you chose to leave Montana State to go play somewhere else, I'm done with your football career. You know, like, I'm not going to pay attention to it. I'm not going to wish you ill will. It's like, you're not a Bobcat anymore, and you chose that on purpose, so good luck, and I'm done. Yeah.
I was finding myself feeling that same way with Raekwon Battle. I loved Raekwon. He was, like, my favorite player, and now I'm like, I don't know. Like, kind of moved on a little bit.
I mean, if he was playing this year, I would be watching like, highlights, just kind of checking in to see how he was doing a little bit. A little bit with Raekwon Battle, I would be a little bit more vested, I guess, for some reason. And I mean, I tuned into UCLA Cal a couple weeks ago because I knew Afonso, Glessner, and TJ Session were all playing the game. So I was like, yeah, we'll check in on those guys. How are they doing? So there's a little bit of interest, I guess, but overall, I'm just like, yeah, I was like, it's not like you're dead to me kind of situation, but it's like you chose to leave. So,
yeah, it definitely taints Afonso. You're like, you want to love the guy, but you're like, yeah, he left. Can you blame him? No.
I think it doesn't diminish what his career was at Montana State, but it definitely like taints the legendary image of him in my mind.
See, I think people should feel like full circle back to Choate. This is how they should feel about Choate as well. It's like these guys on Bobcat Nation who are pining after Choate, even to this day. Like, hey, dude, he left. He chose to leave. Like, this is like this. We didn't leave him. We didn't let him out the door. We didn't show him the door. You got to get over that. So,
yeah.
But it's the same feeling. It's the same feeling to me. Yeah, I agree, man. If they choose to leave. And we bleed this stuff, man. Mm-hmm. It's Montana State till we die. It's just how we are.
Yep. I know we're going to sound like you can call us like bitter for this. I'm not bitter about any of this. Like, go on and do your thing, man. Doesn't mean I have to like care anymore, I guess. I don't know how to phrase this without sounding like an a-hole.
It's okay to be an a-hole.
I'm not wishing anybody bad luck or anything. No, I'm not even bitter about it.
It doesn't matter as much to us anymore.
It's just out of my mind now. Out of my mind. Like Jeff Cho, like I see so many people congratulating him and staying. Like, and I get that. He was a really important figure and people really like him and he meant a lot to the program and made a lot of connections and people connected with him on a personal level and all that stuff. And so I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. But
like I loved Rush Reimer. He's one of my favorite players. Mm-hmm. But now I don't care much. Like it is what it is. It taints my feelings towards him. Like, yeah, you chose it, man. That's on you. Thanks for the wins. Thanks for the blocking. But that, now you moved on. And that is being bitter. And I think that's okay. Because you and I grew up in an era, the old timers, where's the loyalty, you know? there's still some of that inside of me. I totally get everything we talked about. But yeah, it's going to change it. And I think that's okay, too. I wish him well. I really do. I wish him all well.
Yep. Same here. I have an idea. So maybe transition to this conversation into let's recognize the seniors. How about that?
Ooh. Do you have a list of them?
I don't. And we didn't plan to talk about this. So I'm like pulling up the bio right now. Like who of all of our seniors? So right off the bat, I mean, let's just start naming guys while I pull this up that we know. Sean Chambers.
Golly. Man, love Sean
Chambers. I love Sean Chambers, man. He grew into one of my favorite Bobcats. And the funny thing is here, now this is the other side of the coin. He was a transfer. So that's kind of funny to be chiding transfers and then also loving transfers at the same time. But one way is you're choosing not to be a Bobcat, and one way you're choosing to be a Bobcat. So there's a different appreciation, I guess. But yeah, man, he did a lot for the program, and I was ecstatic the player he grew into and the way we utilized him and just watching him play football, man, it was a joy. And he was like seems like such a good guy on and off the field, such a good leader, such a good teammate, voted captain at two different schools. He was a captain at Wyoming, captain at Montana State. I love the guy.
Me too. Absolutely. Got to talk to him. You just get a feeling for a guy when you're next to him. Same feels that you just talked about. He loved being a Bobcat. I asked him that. That meant a lot to me. I was like, thank you, because you represent me. As a fan, what you do, you represent me. You represent my university. Absolutely love Sean Chambers. I kind of wish we used him more this season.
Yeah.
I kind of think we didn't tap his potential this season.
Yeah. I mean, we've kind of bemoaned that and gone over that. So I'll just end that with I agree, but I don't want to get too much in the weeds on that. Just praising, praising Chambers and what he did for Montana State. Who else we got down on the list here? Nolan Askelson, man, number 41.
Man.
Had a hell of a senior season. Loved it. Loved watching him play, being a leader out there.
Capped his senior year with the best game maybe he's ever had against North Dakota State. Not only that, he stayed healthy all season, which was like so cool. I'm sure he had some nicks in there, but no season endings. I don't think he missed any games besides being targeting call, which was the stupidest targeting call. Come on.
Man, but he played so good against North Dakota State.
Yeah.
Like, because the whole team was, the tackling was not, it was wavering, but he kind of led the charge back against North Dakota State looking like, because last time I thought the tackling looked really good this season was like Weber State. And that we looked similar to that.
Yeah.
Guys we'll wrapping up. We'll get to that.
He had 7 solo, 8 total, 3 tackles for a loss, and 2 sacks by himself.
That's a great game. That's a great game. Gosh. Disruptive. Cleavan Thomas, another guy transferred in.
Yes.
Took advantage of his time. I think he really grew into being like a, what we talked about, those guys that come in and like become Bobcats. I feel like Cleavan Thomas is a Bobcat.
Yeah, and we thought he was on his way out last year, and then he chose to come back.
To run it back.
Like, yeah, let's go, buddy. I love that.
Yeah, he was a tough competitor, man. He did a lot for the Bobcats.
Hell of a blocker. Selfless on the outside. Had a great touchdown against North Dakota State. On a great play, by the way. That was a great play.
Good to see him get one there at the end, too, to cap off his career. Ben Seymour is listed as a senior here, so I think Ben Seymour has exhausted his eligibility. He was in the program for quite a while, and he didn't really make much of a splash early on, but he really kind of developed, and I thought he had a pretty solid senior year. I think he really developed into, for his size, a pretty good all-around defensive end. A little undersized.
He was as good as he was going to be.
Exactly.
He maximized his potential.
He has limitations with his like body stature and all that, but he was really good, man. He had a good, solid year. There was a couple plays I remember this year where he had the high motor and he was chasing people down, like wrapping up. He had a good year.
Did a good career.
Lane Sumner, man, what a bummer way to end his career. But man, he was fun. He was fun to watch when he was fully healthy and churning out there for those few years where he was really healthy. He was a great Bobcat.
Feels like Huntley, one of those guys that's been around for a long time. He was on one of the episodes for the, oh, what's the Josh Perkins thing they
did? Oh my gosh, I can't remember the name of it.
Bobcat Lounge or something like that. I'm not sure what it's called, but it's at the R&R. He mentioned he's going to go on to law school and probably end up going over the hill, as he said. Happy to see guys like that go on and do important things.
That's right. Good for him. Let's see who else is listed here. We got Jarek Snell. Probably the saddest ending to the of all the senior stories here. Re-injures a previous injury in like practice or at the end of some game or something like that. And all of a sudden, Jarek Snell's out. Period. He's done. It's like, man, what happened? He's one of my favorite all-time Bobcats.
Can he get a red shirt? Can he come back?
I don't know how much he played. I don't know if there'd be a possibility of like a medical red shirt. I haven't heard anything about that. So I'm just going to assume that his eligibility is done here for this conversation. If he comes back next year, then we get to praise him again for another senior send-off like we're doing right now. But he developed into such a dominant player. A little undersized coming in, but he filled out, got muscular, and he got mean. He was such a fun blocker to watch. He was just demolished people.
I think he could carve out a niche in the NFL. He might not be a star. Let's be honest.
It's crazy the way we used him, and I think that's why his NFL prospects are there, because, I mean, he was returning punts for a little bit.
Gosh,
why?
Like early season too, when everybody's healthy, I'm like, why is Snell back there catching punts?
And it was before Taco was back, so we were having some struggles, I think, back there. But he was returning kickoffs, punts. He was I don't know if he did any Wildcat quarterback this year, but he did last year. Just what a great player, man! I love Jarek Snell. Small town,
fullback,
Alaska, gotta love it.
Yeah, took the role of R.J. Fitzgerald, which.
Another all-time Bobcat.
Man.
We've had such a good lineage of those just blockers. They just come here, and that's mostly what they do, and they block. And I love it. You got R.J. Fitzgerald, Curtis Amos, Jarek Snell. We've had some guys, man.
We're just going to love pounding you. Guys who just love getting in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
I love it, man. Well, if you're going to mention Snell, like I mentioned Chayton Pickering from Sunburst, Montana.
Such a fun tight end duo, man. Those guys clearly loved each other and playing alongside each other.
Roommates.
I'm sure really good friends. Man, yeah, Pickering had such a good year. Bummed to see him get injured, but I'm glad he got to come back and play. He's really turned into a legit like receiving threat on top of his blocking abilities this year as a senior. 6'4", 246. I'm not sure he has any league hopes, but I think a team could use him.
He's a big dude. So we'll see.
Sunburst. Gotta say it one last time. Sunburst, Montana, Ben. Okay. I see Cole Sain's listed as a senior here, but I'm pretty sure on Bobcat Nation they're saying that he could probably will be back next year. So must have the COVID year of eligibility left or something like that. David Alston's listed here as a senior. I think he's probably gone, transferred from Nebraska. I mean, appreciate him coming on and being kind of a role player and all that. Didn't really ever seem to make much of a huge impact, but we really appreciate guys that come over. And what do you? I can't read that screen you're showing me there.
Check your text messages, buddy.
What am I supposed to be checking? Is there breaking news right now? No, well, it's recording on my device. It gave me an error in the middle of.
Okay.
But it's recording on my device.
Okay.
So
I'm sorry.
Foley just texted me that he thinks the recording stopped, and he's correct. It did stop, but it should be recording onto my SD card over here. So
my heart is pounding okay. There a little bit.
We should be okay. I'm not going to edit any of this. I'm not going to edit any of this because we don't do that. So
let it roll.
We were talking about David Alston, a senior, transferred to Nebraska. Appreciate what he did here.
Yeah, kind of one of those unsung heroes that you don't hear much about, but good role player. He had a really good interception game one, Gold Rush, where he took it away from...
That's right.
Seabass, I think.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
That was a really cool moment for him. But he did a really good job. All these guys that you keep mentioning, I'm like, man, they just got so much better as their time as Bobcat. Mm-hmm. I love seeing these guys go out on the way.
Blake Heel, another one here. There's only a couple left, yeah. So we'll move through this, and we'll actually start talking about North Dakota State. Blake Heel, man, he played a lot here, too. Transferred from Tarleton
early.
State.
Yeah, he came in with Vegan, and was like, who's that guy with the pot belly in the middle, who is super tan?
And like paint, he had like the belly. Real painted, like warrior paint on his eyes a lot of time. The paint you put under your eyes for the... Reflections, yeah. I forget what that stuff's called, but he put a lot of it on. The love intimidation factor.
Overcame a back injury, started playing really well this year. He's a good player on the inside when we were rotating.
Another guy listed here is a senior, Taven Williams, Andre Williams' younger brother. Pretty cool for him to come over here and make the team, and he contributed here and there. I saw he got some playing time this year.
There's a guy that I'm going to tip my hat to. Like, there's a lot of guys that I will tip my hat to, but he is one of them because if you listen to his story, he's had to do pretty much everything. At one point last year, he was running back. He's receiver.
That's right.
Special teams, scout team. That guy is a team player through and through. He is a definite Bobcat.
I mean, those are the kinds of guys you need on your team. Absolutely. You need those guys.
Guys who are never going to be the stars, they might get one or two touches here and there, stick it out, and they do it for the team. I love that kind of player.
And the last guy I see here, Lavelle Price Jr.
Yeah, that boy.
What a good story. Story. If you haven't read like the articles on him on like Skyline, go check him out. He has an incredible story. Perseverance to make it all the way through his senior year. And have a pretty good senior year. A little bit injury prone as well, but when he was playing, man, you could tell he was an impact player, and the defense was a lot better when he was on the field.
Mm-hmm.
He waited his turn. He fought through everything, and he got his time as a senior. Gotta love it.
And when he was making plays in the backfield, he would just get so amped. Loved his energy this year.
Well, congratulations to the senior class there. Felt like that would be a good yin-yang situation to all the transfer portal complaining we were just doing. So some positive stuff here for the guys that left the program, graduated, exhausting their eligibility. So kudos to those guys. Congratulations. Thanks for being Bobcats.
So now we get to talk about another downer, which is the North Dakota State.
Oh, man. Okay. You want to get right into the stats on this thing?
Stats.
Let's just blow right into this. All right, stats. The Bobcats lose on a blocked extra point in overtime, 35-34. The Bobcats get 21 first downs to just 18 for the Bison, 3 for 10 for the Cats on third down, including 1 for 2 on fourth down, where the Bison were just 2 of 9 on third down, and they did not go for it on fourth down. The Cats had 509 yards of total offense, for just 374 for the Bison, and that goes just 78 yards through the air for North Dakota State. On 6-14 passing, 5.6 yards per pass, the Cats did a really good job of holding their passing game in check, but they got their running game going. So that's why they didn't really need to pass it as much, because they had 296 yards on the ground on 43 attempts. So they threw the ball 14 times and they ran it for 43 times for 6.9 yards per carry. At one point, I think Tamarack Williams was like averaging like 42 yards a carry. He had like three carries for like 150 yards or something. The Cats had 230 yards through the air on one of the, probably the best performance of Tommy Lott's career on 14 of 19 passing, 12.1 yards per pass, an interception that doesn't count because it was like a Hail Mary situation right at the end before the half, so who cares? 279 yards on the ground, 40 rushing attempts for 7 yards per carry. If you told me that the Cats had these stats and scored 34 points or even 28 points, I would have thought we would have won this football game.
Easily.
6 penalties for 46 yards for the Cats, 7 for 45 for the Bison, so pretty even there. Some costly ones timing-wise for the Cats. That was kind of the brutal part of those. And then time of possession, about dead even. There's only about 30 seconds of difference between the time of possession. So pretty even game in a lot of ways. The only real difference, if you look at this, is the passing game was much more prolific for Montana State, and the total yards quite a bit higher. But everything else is pretty even. Painful one, man.
Combing through the stats last night, I was preparing for this episode. Like, gosh dang it. We went toe-to-toe with these guys and had them in so many of these key stats, and it goes off. But sacks, North Dakota State, 2 sacks for 6 yards. We sacked Cam Miller 4 times for 25 yards.
Man, we were getting after it. I loved the game plan.
Yeah.
We'll get into that.
Points after? Nah, I had to put it in. I'm sorry, Thorny. 5 for 5 for NDSU.
Why are you bringing that up?
4 for 5 for Montana State. Field goals, 0 for 0. So they didn't attempt one, and we were 0 for 2. And before we – hey, hold on here, Thorny. Before we get into, like, any other discussions on this, this is not – hear this right now. We are not piling on Casey Kotzman. This is not this. All right. That I'm not going that route. And I know you won't, because we don't do that. But it played a big factor in this game. All right.
Yeah.
Let's get into some statistics, individual statistics. That's what I like to do. Tommy was 5 for 13. 66 yards and 1 touchdown through the air. He was 18 for 159 on the ground, the long of 76.
Wait, what were his passing stats?
5 for 13, 66 yards.
What game are you looking at? He was 13 to 17 for 204 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Oh, that's weird. All right, let's see what else I have that...
What was his rushing stats you just said?
18 for 159.
Okay, I mean, that's right.
Okay.
Except you always use different stats than ESPN, but yes, that's close enough. But yeah, 13 to 17 for passing. I don't know where you got the 5.
Yeah, that's weird.
Is your 3 and your 1 together look like a 5?
No comment. Scottrie Humphrey was 10 for 77, 1 touchdown, and then he had a... He had a catch, 3 catches through the air for 41 yards. Chambers, 1 for 2, 26. Does that sound right?
That's what it says. I got that.
Oh, yeah. All right. And he had 8 carries for 46 with a long of 29. He limped his way to those 29 yards. That was revelatory. We'll talk about that. Jared White was 3 for 10. Not sure why Jared White didn't get any more carries. That was weird. Ty McCullough had a good game, 4 for 92 with a touchdown. Cleve Van Thomas was 2 for 48 with a touchdown. Taco was 2 for 38. Jacob Trimble was 1 for 18. And I move over to the defensive side. Danny Yu, 11 total, half of a tackle for loss. Askelson, again, 7 solo, 8 total, 3 tackles for a loss, and 2 sacks. Man, that stat line. That's probably the best defensive stat line I've read all season. Hands down. Brody Grevy, 7 total, 1 tackle for a loss, 1 sack. Blake Stilwell, 4 solo, 7 total. Sebastian Valdez had four total with one tackle for a loss. Lavelle Price Jr., three solo, one tackle for a loss, and one sack. Moving over to North Dakota State, two guys I put down there. We had Cam Miller. He was 5-for-13 for 66 yards through the air. And then he had 15 carries for 40 yards and a touchdown, and he was sacked four times. Here's a killer one, Tamarick Williams, 11 for 163 yards, two touchdowns with a long of 75. There's your stats.
The long runs, man. Brutal.
So I did, hold on, before we get into the narrative, they had touchdown runs of 29 yards. Well, let's see here. They had a 3-yard touchdown from Cam Miller in the overtime.
44-yard touchdown run, a 75-yard touchdown run, 29-yard touchdown run.
Yeah, so, most of their, I think 3 out of 5 of their touchdowns were big play touchdowns.
Yeah.
And
they were all plays where we were sucked into the line of scrimmage. And,
then we took some bad angles.
Weren't aggressive coming up to making the play. And it was painful, man. It was painful to watch him bust to the line. And there was like nobody there. It's like, what happened on this play? Like, what happened?
It was weird.
It seemed weird. How could we be so far? There's like no linebackers. There's like maybe one safety back there. Like, I know you and I talked about blitzing more, but we seem to be blitzing on like running downs. So,
well, I'm never going to be apologetic about blitzing, but it seems like when those touchdowns were happening, we were in zero coverage. So you got man coverage with just the safety in the back, and Blake Stillwell's got to make that tackle. So I'm not going to put that on Blake.
That's a tough position to be put in.
Yeah,
for sure. That's what it's for, though. That's the, like you said, that's the coverage. That's his responsibility. But let's kind of go through this game. Cats strike first in this one, man. They looked good on that scoring drive. But was this the game where we had our first drive, we moved the ball down the field and missed a field goal? Is that how it went?
Correct. A 33-yarder.
Man, what a just bad omen. Right off the bat. Marching the field down, you're feeling good about the way we're moving the football and running the football, and then we miss a field goal.
I never saw that one. My computer crashed or ESPN something in the ether. What happened on that field goal?
That one, if I'm remembering correctly, it was wide right, but it looked like it was like right over the upright. So it was pretty close. And I had to actually wait for the referee to signal because I couldn't tell.
Was it on the left hash?
I don't remember what hash it was on.
Okay.
But yeah, that was a good-looking drive. Like, we moved the ball down the field. We had that little pass to Scotry Humphrey for 26 yards. Got right down. But same thing that's plagued the Bobcats all year, man. Like, once you get inside the red zone or even inside the 30-yard line, it's like our offense stalls. It's like we have to score from, like, 25 yards out or we're going to have a hard time scoring.
Yeah.
And that's been a problem all year. And I keep seeing like the red zone offense, how good we were percentage wise, but it just doesn't feel like it was good. It seems like it's like unless we got down to like inside the 5, if we were anywhere from that like 15 to 30 range, we're like, ugh. So that was a bad omen right off the bat. But in terms of not punching it in, because I was afraid that in this game, like the Cat Grizz game, we were going to be able to move the ball between the 20s, but not punch it in or score any points. So right off the bat, that happened.
Yeah, that was kind of a moment. It just kind of magnifies our kicking woes because we've been having them. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, here we go again. Not the way you want to start out.
But defensively, couldn't have asked for a better start.
Yeah.
They went 3 and out for 0 yards on the ensuing. They took over on their own, like 20 or whatever it was, after Kotsman missed the 33-yard field goal, and they went nowhere. And that was a really good omen because I think that was maybe a play on third down where we blitzed maybe, and you and I are like, yes, there it is. We got aggressive. We started blitzing. I don't know if that was on that first series or not, but it was definitely prevalent really early on in the game that we're going to be much more aggressive on defense, and I loved it, and it worked. It was working really well.
Yeah. I had a couple guys texting me. They're like, hey, you called this, man. Sending the blitz. I was like, yep. It's one of the times Foley was right. Love it. I love when I'm right.
So then that one, I think, Taco Dowler. Man, how do we get the ball? So I'm looking at this, but this is the next drive. We went 4 plays, -1 yards, but we were already on the 30-yard line. So I think it was a return by Taco. It says Taco returns for no gain. Did NDSU shank the punt? I don't remember that happening. I remember Taco just returning a whole bunch of nice returns in this game. Taco was huge in this game. He set us up a good field position a lot. But again, we go backwards, and then we miss a 49-yard field goal. And that's a pretty long field goal.
Yeah.
And it was 4th and 11. You're kind of in that no man's land on the 32-yard line. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
In hindsight, do you try and go for it? You don't punt it there. That's a stupid place to punt from. So all you can really do is try and go for it. So I don't know. I'm okay with the attempt there. If Kotsman makes that, he gets some momentum, he gets some confidence, and obviously we probably end up winning the game because we have 3 more points on the scoreboard. So I don't know. At that point, you know, I was starting. I was just frustrating, man. Like just the kicking game all year long. It's just been such a pain, and he missed it so far to the right, and it's like every other missed kick we've had all year, they're just shanked to the right. Like, not even a chance.
This goes back to the conversation of when Stones left last year, we dropped a scholarship. And I don't believe Montana State picked up a scholarship for a kicker.
Sorry, everyone. I had to go real quick, so there's going to be an awkward transition here. I had to leave to take care of my daughter real quick, so we're going to try and get back into this conversation in the middle of it. I believe, Foley, you just made a point about not having a scholarship kicker on the roster.
That's what I heard.
That's crazy. I don't know if they – I mean, Hall has to have a scholarship.
Yeah.
So he's not a place kicker specifically, but I don't know what the kind of the deal was with him. Like, was he promised a spot for all kicking duties, like all 3 kicking duties? To get a scholarship, to get him to come Montana State. I don't know. But regardless, the kicking situation just hasn't been good this year, and that's going to be a huge point of emphasis in the offseason.
Yeah. Coach Beacon was clearly frustrated about it in the post-game press conference. I think Coach Victor Flores asked him a question about it, or somebody, and he was, exasperated. It was the most raw I've seen Coach Beacon ever be after that press conference.
I didn't end up watching it, and I should go back and watch it, but...
Yeah, it's something that, you should go.
I mean, but, you know, next drive, another 3-and-out for the Cats defense. I mean, the game started off, the defense was doing their part. And the offense finally got it going on the next drive, and that's when we scored the touchdown. 3 plays, 63 yards, and that was capped off with a touchdown pass to Ty McCulloch. And you're feeling pretty good, man. Like, the Cats are looking pretty good. We're moving the ball. Yeah, we stalled out twice, but okay, we're up 7-0 now, so the stalling doesn't feel so bad anymore.
It's a great pass to Ty McCullough, and Ty McCullough twinkle toes down the sideline. I loved it.
I'm going to go rewatch this game because actually some of this I'm not conjuring up what that touchdown pass was in my head. I was so nervous for this game. I was like pins and needles, so I might have to go rewatch things because I may have just been so nervous that my adrenaline.
It was a really good football game, man.
It was. Like if you were watching this game as an FCS fan with no vested interest in this game, you got yourself a show. It was a very good football game, and I'm very happy with how the Bobcats competed in this.
Yeah.
I do want to say that. I was worried we're going to come out flat, and it's going to be more of the same, and some of the same issues that have plagued us all year did show up, but for the most part, I think we cleaned up a lot of the stuff. I thought we played really hard. We tackled really well. The offensive got a good push. The play calling was pretty creative and was working well. Tommy was throwing the ball around. For the most part, I thought we looked really, really good. A few breakdowns here and there, and we can get into those, including play calling here and there, tackling the long touchdowns. But overall, before we get too much further into this, man, I thought I just was happy with the Cats' effort, and they made a competitive and entertaining football game.
Clearly the best we've played against North Dakota State.
It's true. That's that is by far. By far.
All right, keep going.
And I don't remember what happened on this one. So 4 plays, 2 yards. What the heck happened here? Yeah, anyway, we punt the ball. We stopped them. Sorry, North Dakota gets the ball back here. They only go 6 plays and 25 yards, so they have to punt it once again. And I assume Taco had a nice return on this one, but couldn't get it going. That's where we had our first 3 and out. So NDSU finally answered with a 3 and out on their own defensively when, at this point in the game, you know, would have been really nice to get some more points and really put the pressure on North Dakota State. Because what ended up happening is it was a close enough game, they could keep doing their, like much like us, they could keep doing their bread and butter, which is run the football. We never built up a big enough lead to force them out of that. So
we never got a 2-score advantage.
We had several chances to do so.
Yeah.
Couldn't get it done. This was one of them. We just went nowhere. We had a holding penalty. This was deep in our own end zone, I believe. And that's when Brendan Hall, I think, also had a pretty average punt for Brendan Hall, just a 33-yard punt.
Shanked it.
So that was gave pretty good field position to the North Dakota State, and they were able to capitalize. 5 plays, 39-yard touchdown with a little pass. I remember this. It was 3rd and 6, and that was that pass interference call where Askelson collided with who was it?
John Johnson.
They collided, and Johnson was down. Did Johnson come back in?
He did.
And Askelson also came
played
back
in. Played a great game, by the way.
Yeah, John Johnson played really well. I'm glad that he's going to be a Bobcat again next year. He really came on the scene this year. I was pretty impressed with him. He's had ups and downs all year, but he's got a good ceiling. And I think he did hit him a little early. So I think the call was probably okay. But on 3rd and 6, that close, like, I don't know. I'm not sure you throw the flag there, but they threw the flag, gave 1st and goal for the Bison. They punched it in pretty easily, as you would expect. Any team 1st and goal from the 6-yard line should be scoring touchdowns most of the time. And a team like North Dakota State is going to.
Yes.
7-7. And what do we do on our ensuing drive? 3 plays, 7 yards.
Not the way you want to respond.
We had an ineligible receiver down the field.
What? That happened this game?
And pass interference on North Dakota State. That was the offsetting one. That was a weird one.
Yeah.
But there was an incomplete pass, so we ended up having to punt the ball there. But Brendan Hall boomed that one for 58 yards. That's much better. Made up for that one. That's a hell of a punt.
He has those in him, which is awesome. We didn't have those last year. It was always 42 yards.
So the next possession by North Dakota State ends up with the 44-yard touchdown run by Tamarick Williams. I think it's the one we went left, and Makeda Riley picked the wrong gap, and he ran right around him and just sprinted down the sideline for an open touchdown. I think that was this one.
Yeah.
How are you feeling at this point? All of a sudden, momentum seems to have changed. North Dakota State's got back-to-back touchdowns. We've had back-to-back 3 and outs, I believe.
Yeah, I'm not feeling good, man.
Oh, it's like, oh, man, is this it?
Here we go.
Steamroll now?
I'm going to out you, dude, because you get really negative during these moments. You're like, here we go. We're going to lose. This is it. This game over.
You do the same thing. I don't want to hear it
sometimes,
from you.
Sometimes, but you're a little bit worse than I am.
I'm a little bit worse. Okay, I could live with that analogy. I could handle I'm a little bit worse than you.
I'm like, just shut up, Thorny. Quit being so negative right now.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I still have the lingering, like everyone else, the lingering effects from the cat
criticism.
You
don't put it
into
the existence. You just keep that inside your head. You just shut up and move on, man.
Well, the good news is the cat shut me up on the responding drive because we responded nicely with the touchdown.
Yeah.
A 71-yard, 6-play touchdown drive to tie the football game. And this is right before halftime. There's 1:05 left before half. What a absolutely huge touchdown drive that was. Like, that was, if that didn't go well or we had 3 and out and give the ball back to the Bison with like 4 minutes left, it could have gotten ugly in that first half. But yeah, we responded.
Absolutely.
And we marched down the field, got a little Chambers in there, a little 12-yard hobbled Chambers run. tie the game before halftime, 14-14.
And we were going to kick off to the Bison, so that was absolutely huge. So, and what did they do, Thorny? First play.
Of the second half?
Yeah.
Well, they got a holding. I don't know what you mean.
They did on the first, very first play.
I mean, looking at the drive chart here, it says North Dakota State penalty, offensive holding. Huh. What do you have? What do you think?
Well, they score a 75-yard touchdown to Merrick Williams.
Oh, I'm looking at the end of the second half, or the first half, sorry. Sorry, yeah. Okay, yeah, first play. That's right. 75-yard touchdown. Right? Sorry, I was looking at the wrong drive. I forgot about that. I forgot that was the first play of the second half. Oh, man. Any goodwill, any good thoughts you had with how the first half ended was pretty much erased immediately.
Yeah, that felt bad.
But it was reversed so fast with Tommy Mellott's longest touchdown rush of his Bobcat career, which doesn't seem correct to me, but it must be, 76-yard touchdown run on the second play of the Bobcats' possession to tie the game.
That was the weirdest thing ever. It almost happened too fast. And you were like, okay, well, then reset the half.
Yeah, the second half just restarted like 2 minutes into it. Like, okay. Well, that was a completely wasted. That, like, none of that just mattered. It's all back to square one.
Yeah, so now we're sitting at 21-21. And then the game begins to me. The second half was all the pivotal moments.
Yeah, I mean, we forced a three and out with 0 yards. We stuff them. So finally, after they've had several long touchdown runs at this point, they had things going. And we stuffed them and got the ball back and then scored a touchdown.
Yes.
Scored a beautiful touchdown. Awesome play. Yeah, on a Cleveland Thomas touchdown.
Yep. Well, we had both Chambers and Mellott on the field at the same time. Kind of a little pop pass to Mellott, or maybe, I can't remember, maybe it was a little handoff.
Yeah,
anyways.
Yeah, he just flicked it backwards.
A misdirection play. Cleveland was open in the flat. Hit Cleveland. Cleveland catches the ball at an awkward angle. Tommy put it on him, but it was like contorted his body perfectly and then raced to the pile.
He was still able to turn around and race upfield. It's always hard on the TV angles because those ones to me look like the hardest to judge how far he is away from the defenders. It looked like they were like right on him. The TV angle makes it hard for me. I was surprised he was able to turn the angle or get the ball turned upfield and score the touchdown. I was like, nice, sure. Cleveland, nicely done. That was a great play call. I mean, at this point, I thought House Wright was calling a great game. A lot of creative stuff, maybe using the quarterbacks a little more than I wanted, but Scottrey Humphrey was getting it going, and we had 28 points early in the third quarter. You got to feel pretty good about that offensive performance to that point. Like, well, there's nothing much to complain about.
At this point, you're thinking Montana State goes up 2 scores.
That's right.
We can get a stop and then a score again. Bedlam. This thing's in the bag. And we were so close.
Yeah, and then we stuff them again, man.
Exactly.
We stuff them again. So then you're finally thinking, like, here it is. 2 scores on them. You got to put a lot of pressure on them. You got to do it.
And then what happens?
This is the one that ends.
Is this the drive that
this
Tom
is the one
heard?
That no, this is the one that in the end of the third quarter where Scottrey Humphrey we go for it on 4th and 2 after driving down the field, 47-yard drive. We give it to Scottrey Humphrey. They can't tell on TV real well. They give him the first down on the field. They mark it first down, and then the Cats let 8 seconds or so run off the clock, go to the break in the fourth quarter, come back from commercial break to hear they reviewed the play, and Scottrey Humphrey was actually short. So, yeah.
How does that happen, though, Thorny? Does somebody on North Dakota State have to signal that? Do they have to say, hey, look at that? Or is it just a byproduct of having enough time?
I don't know. I'm still iffy on the rules, especially I think the playoff rules might be different. I think it all might be reviewed by the booth. I'm not sure. I'm not sure whose decision that was. But in hindsight, man, if it was a close call, now you're like, just run up to the line and run a play. The Cats slowly walked off the field because they knew they had the first down, holding their hands up for the fourth quarter. Everyone's all happy about it. But yeah, man, it's like any close play, conventional wisdom is always like run up there and just snap the balls fast again. But I don't blame anyone for not doing that, but
Scotchy was on what was the down or distance on that?
It was a 4th and 2. I remember he got like tackled in his knee.
No, I remember the play, yeah. But where was he at on the field?
North Dakota State's 37-yard line.
Okay.
So we were on their side of the field. Like there's a good chance we're gonna end up with points on that drive.
Yeah. And Scotchy uncharacteristically pauses and gets hit. Like
Time Scotchy Humphrey doesn't just run as fast as he can to anywhere. He pauses for a half a second, and it's just enough.
Absorbs the hit, and then, yeah. Like, what?
Yeah, that was a... But you thought he got the first down, so it's like, okay, well, all right. But no, they reverse it. They reverse it. So the fourth quarter starts. The Bison have momentum after getting a fourth down stop. Mm-hmm. And what do? They go nowhere. They go nowhere and punt the ball. They end up with a 4th and 27 for they have like a delay of game. They get a first down. The drive chart on ESPN is hard to read, but regardless,
they get a huge sack.
They end up punting
on that series.
I don't know. That's the one where it looks like they tried to run Cole Payton a couple times, and he got like stuffed both times.
Yeah. That guy was going nowhere.
Yeah, and there it is. Cam Miller sacked by Nolan Askelson for a loss of 12 yards.
Yeah.
And that was huge. And then they got a delay of game. I think they did it on purpose, though, to get like punting space looking at this now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they punted the ball. So, okay, there we go. We had a play. It didn't go our way. Defense did their part, man. Got the offense the ball back. And then the next drive is the infamous drive. The 4th and 1 call. Tommy Laughant.
Nope,
I guess it was third one. Sorry, it was third down. But yeah, 3rd and 1. Tommy Laughant, empty gun, runs it up, not up the middle. He kind of goes off to the side and gets completely sandwiched and bent up and tweaks his knee or whatever. I don't know if he sprained his ankle or what it was, but it was a bad look and he was obviously hurt and he's out of the game and we didn't get the first down.
Okay, let's pause on this play.
Yeah, let's talk about this play.
Tommy missed the hole.
Yes.
It was open on the A gap. He took the B gap. It was open on the A gap.
A lot of fans are going to focus on why do we call that? Tommy went the wrong way. If he just follows the left side of the line, it's an easy 2 yards. Easy.
I don't have too much problem with the play call. Like, we could have called anything there. Asking Tommy to get one on 3rd and 1 when he's having the game he is, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, a lot of Bobcat fans are mad about it because it seems they're thinking that this is a play that you get injured on. Why not just give it to our running back so we can do the same thing? And I get that angle of it, but it's Montana State football, man. It's not the first time we've run a quarterback on short yardage situations. Usually it's Chambers, but Chambers was obviously hobbled. And I think they just got up to the line and ran the play without having to make subs. So North Dakota State couldn't have subs. And, I mean, once he went, everyone knew the play was going to be. It's like you saw Tommy Laughant sitting there by himself in the back on 3rd and 1, like Tommy up the middle. But no, he went, I think Tommy likes to bounce things to the outside a little too much. I don't know if he saw something where he thought he could get a bigger gain than needed, but I don't think he didn't have the right read on that one, like you said. And I haven't really heard anybody else talk about that.
No credit North Dakota State for making the tackle on that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
They were right there, and they hit him, and they crunched him.
Same with the Scotchy play. Like, credit that linebacker for making the stop on Scotchy. Here's where I have a problem with this play. This is the one that haunts me when I'm staying up at night. We punt the ball on 4th and 1 right here, and we give it back to them with, I think there was about 6 minutes left on the clock at that point. I think, man, like this decision, I've run through it in my head countless times now. You run it on 4th and 1. It's no different if we give that up because they're going to score. Like soon as we punted it, you texted me, North Dakota State's built for this moment. They've done it 1,000 times. And I'm like, exactly. Exactly. We are marching down the field. Okay, so Malak gets hurt, so we got to bring Chambers in. Hand the ball off, fourth and one. I think we were on the 47-yard line, our 47-yard line, or was it their 47-yard line?
Our 45.
Our 45. So that's not unprecedented to go for that. Jason Eck goes for that in his sleep, like 100 times out of 100 times.
Brent Finnegan doesn't.
Yeah, and I think that's a call that's going to haunt him. One of a couple calls that will haunt Coach Finnegan in this game.
That's a hard one. Our star quarterback had just been clearly injured and taken out of the game. You got a hobbled backup quarterback, so you're thinking, okay, defense is going to win the game.
Yeah, and granted, I made that argument on Bobcat Nation close after the game, like quickly after the game, because our defense has been playing lights out. Absolutely lights out. So I didn't have a problem in the moment where we're like, okay, we're going to punt. Actually, didn't really think about it. I was like, okay, we'll give it back to him, but we'll make a stop. But we didn't. And then I reflected back on that moment. I was like, man, if we would have went for that fourth and one, I was like, wait a second. We're one of the best rushing teams in the nation. We can get a yard there. We can then bleed that clock. I don't know. What did we need? We probably could have had another 3 minutes off that clock, at least if we didn't get another first down. I don't know what happens after that.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But,
I mean, you could even run Chambers out there under the gun and try and drum off sides and call a timeout.
Yeah.
That's a super common strategy. That's a lot safer. Yeah, you lose a timeout, but you go out there, Chambers, everyone knows Chambers is going to do it. You go up there, you know, do a couple fakes and try and drum off sides.
Yeah.
At the very least.
Yeah.
But that was a tough one. That was a tough one. So we punt it there. And like I said, when I texted, I'm like, this is what North Dakota State does, man. This is their game-winning drive. They've done this dozens of times, and that's exactly what they did. A 9-play, 89-yard, because it was a great punt by Brendan Hall to punt him down to the 11-yard line. But all it did was give them 89 yards, and they went it in 4 minutes and 48 seconds, with it capped off by a 29-yard touchdown run on 2nd and 11 from our 29-yard line to tie the game. But plenty of time left on the clock, right, Foley?
Yeah.
Problem is, Tommy Malott's no longer playing. And it becomes very evident, if it wasn't at that point in the game, on that long ensuing Sean Chambers scramble for 29 yards, he couldn't really move very well.
That's the first time I really noticed it.
Yeah, same. Because he was in a little bit earlier, but you know, he had a 12-yard run earlier in the game. He almost scored a touchdown. I remember he was like getting hit and he kept like his balance and was down to like inside the 10-yard line. Remember that?
Yeah.
So he looked like a strong Chambers there, like he always does. Hard to bring down, but he wasn't in the open field. So you couldn't really see, like, I don't know. It really affected him when he tried to go into that top gear. And he almost like fluked his way down the sideline. It looked like he was going to run out of bounds. The way he's like limping, he's going to run out of bounds. And he like rounds the block and almost just scampers down the sideline and barely steps out of bounds.
We could have been that close.
Game of inches.
We would have been. Yeah. So I do believe we could have hit a field goal from that spot where he got pushed out. It was like 15-yard line or something like that.
Well, you're talking, we missed an extra point to lose the game fully. So could we have made it a 26-yard field goal?
At the moment, I would have thought we could.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, this drive doesn't end well, though. Chambers gets sacked, takes 2 bad sacks. The second one in particular, where he like steps in the pocket, and there's like a North Dakota State player just kind of like sitting there, and Chambers just like turns and like runs straight into him. It was really not, it was just kind of awkward and like depressing to watch it. It was a bummer.
It was. And it was weird that we were calling those plays. It was almost like we weren't calling plays that could fit his physical limitations at that point. It's like, why don't we just hand it off to Humphrey right here?
Yeah.
Like, he's hurt. So like, we've got to protect Chambers right
the
now.
The weird
like,
part about this part is, too, this is when we brought Jared White into the game. So yeah. We brought Sean Chambers in. I mean, we had to bring Sean Chambers in, but then we brought Jared White in. instead of Scottrie Humphrey's been playing the entire game and playing well. I don't know if there's some sort of like they have better chemistry together. Like the package, like Chambers and White are a package, so let's might as well get them both out there at the same time. I'm not sure the thought there. But Jared White gets stuffed on first down, and Chambers gets sacked two times in a row, and then we end up punting it on 4th and 16. And I was tempted to go for it there or do a fake punt. Because there's 35 seconds left in the game. I mean, you're on their 42. I don't know. I mean, if it gets stuffed, then you get they have pretty good field position. So probably not. But it's just like, I just don't want to lose it like this, you know? But it is what it is. So we punt. We stuff them. They just take like a – it goes down to the 2-yard line, and they pretty much just take a knee and end out the regulation. How are you feeling, man? How are you feeling at this point? Game regulation over, 28-28. Tommy a lot hurt. Sean Chambers limping around.
Couple thoughts. Not great. And then I kind of had the thought too. I wonder how many Bobcats thought this is. Man, if we win this game, how are we going to do next week?
Oh, I had the thought too. Like, if we win this game, it doesn't matter a whole lot because I think we probably get smoked by USD next week. With like
a lot out,
Chambers is our only option. We got like Reed to come on. Like I wouldn't be too optimistic about that, but you still want to give yourselves a chance to go play that game. But yeah, the thought crossed my mind. Like, well, even if we survive this, I don't know if we survive any further. Overtime starts. 2 plays, touchdown, North Dakota State.
Was it 2 plays? That's it?
I'm looking at the wrong drive again. 5 plays. Yeah, they actually drove down a little bit, but, you know, it wasn't too hard. They drove down, and Cole Payton scored a touchdown.
Correct.
To make it 35-28.
No, Cam Miller scored there.
And at that point, man, I'm like, ugh, we're going to lose this game, aren't we? We're going to lose this game. I was definitely down in the doldrums on that one when they scored a touchdown right off in overtime and seeing our last offensive possession with a limited Chambers. I'm like, how are we possibly going to score right now? Oh, super easy, turns out.
Then Scottrie Humphrey, in a golden moment in Bobcat Nation, he scampers for 25 yards, and the clouds literally parted in like the gold in his helmet because the sun was shining, just like illuminated. And I was like, this is it. We're doing it. And he beats everybody to the edge untouched, 25 yards.
Untouched. And man. Finally, Thorny, I was like, when Scotch is going side to side like that, and he gets like his momentum going, he can turn the corner.
Exactly. And I'm watching this by myself. And I go for two.
Go for two.
Pretty
sure I texted you and Zach. I was texting everyone I was texting all day long with, go for two, go for two. Don't kick it. End it. There was several reasons I was thinking about that. Mainly, our offense is gone right now.
Yep.
We don't have Tommy Mellott. We have Sean Chambers, who can barely walk out there. Yep. We just scored a touchdown. I don't know if we're going to do that again.
Yep.
Our defense is starting to give up some points a little bit.
Yep.
I think they're getting worn down. End the game now.
You have the momentum.
You have the momentum. I wasn't even so concerned about missing the kick. The thought's in the back of my head. I was just more concerned about we can't keep going toe-to-toe with them in the overtime. We're going to lose that way. We got to end it now.
Yeah. I was thinking Chambers is hurt. Now's the time. End this thing now. Because we're just going to try to hold on. The momentum, we just rocked the stadium. 1 play, 25 yards. Let's put these guys in the body bag.
Can you imagine Bobcat Nation exploding on a converted 2-point conversion to win that game? It would have been chaos.
I've imagined it thousands of times since Saturday because that's what I wanted. I have so many plays. It's a simple handoff to Humphrey doing the same play. I don't think they could contain him.
No.
That guy had so much juice. Get him back in the formation, just run it to him again.
No, he's not going to get tackled for a loss.
Here's the thing, Thorny. Here's the stinking thing. You go for two and you live with the result. That's what you do. If you get stuffed, you get stuffed. You and I can swallow that pill because you go for it. You're like, we're going. It makes total sense. It makes total sense. 100%
you can justify that decision all day, every day.
Exactly. Oh, man. Thorny, you got to go back, watch Coach Fegan. Victor Flores, his very first question, he asked Coach this, and Coach almost went off on Victor. Coach is the most even-keeled dude. You know how he is in these. He never gets – he looks at Victor like, are you kidding me? You just asked that? Of course, hindsight. I should have gone for two. And then he like composes himself and then talks through it a little bit. And then at the very end, he's like, that was a good question. Yeah. He kind of apologized in a non-direct way.
It was the question on everyone's mind.
This is not going for it on fourth down and not going for the extra point here, the two-point conversion. Yep. These are the big two plays that...
Yep. And everyone's
in my mind.
Yeah, and everyone's going to point to the Tommy Lott injury too, but I don't hate the play call, like you said. So we had chances to win this game regardless. Yeah. Even after that happened, there were still chances to win this football game. My voice is starting to go because I'm sick, so I'm going to start getting a little more hoarse here.
All right, well, we can end this thing, but...
I don't want to end it. I'm still... I don't know.
The NDSU monkey's still on our back, which means we just got to get it off.
Yep, next year. This is like... Was it three of the last four or four of the last five times they've eliminated us from the playoffs?
Yeah. Four of the last five.
Pain. We finally got him at home. We finally had the chance to take him down at home. And we looked like, honestly, I thought we looked the better football team for the majority of this game. The biggest problems were the couple defensive breakdowns that led to big, easy touchdown runs. Those guys weren't making moves. They weren't making cuts. They weren't running over people. They got the ball, and there was a hole, and there was nobody there.
Yeah.
It was painful. That's like a defensive breakdown.
Wow.
So we had a man, and it was a pain, and kudos to North Dakota State. That last drive they had to score the touchdown to tie it for regulation, that's what good teams do.
But I hated the fact that you texted me at the beginning of that. North Dakota State's built for this. They've done it 1,000 of times. Damn it. Damn it, Thorny.
Yep. And I was hoping I was wrong. I was hoping this is the time that it didn't end their way.
Well, or that- and then we went into that kind of prevent mode. And that's the thing that bugs me the most about that kind of moment. It's like, that's when you bring the house. That's when you bring the most pressure. I hate to admit it, but that's when the Grizzlies do it.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And they live with the consequences, You'd be the most aggressive in that moment. You're like, okay. And it had been working. We had put Cam Miller on his butt four times that game. And then we go soft. You're just like, no. I know you want to keep everything in the front. But we were ahead. We were ahead 7 points at that point, a touchdown.
Man, I'm
on his butt, man.
I'm looking at that drive of theirs. I didn't really realize it at this point. They threw one pass. Run for 4 yards, run for 17 yards, run for 6 yards, run for 6 yards, run for 13 yards, run for 1 yard, pass complete for 14 yards, run for negative 1 yards, run for 29-yard run, touchdown run. They just ran the ball. That's all they did.
Yeah.
Because it had slowly been working.
All right.
And it ends, and instead of having our glorious 2-point conversion moment in the sun bouncing off of Scottrie Humphrey's head, we have the Bozeman block, as the Bison have called it, and now we're just sad. Our season ends. I want to talk next. We'll do another episode about season recap. I want to talk to you about expectations for this season, where they were, and was it a disappointing season for the expectations? Maybe talk a little bit more about that kind of stuff. But I think for this episode, I think we're probably calling it good. We're running close to an hour and a half here.
Yeah. Let's just get out.
And I'm getting tired. And I think that's about all I want to say about this game.
We need to talk, like, what we expect going forward. What would you like to see? All that said, there's still a lot on the bone. We got to We got a hit.
Anything else you want to talk about this game, though, before we get onto that kind of stuff?
Man, I felt sad, really sad after that. And
it was a tough pill to swallow.
It was. Man,
we competed so well, and to end on such a lame way, a blocked extra point on a is a line drive kick.
Yeah.
It was a
and
bad
Coach
kick.
Ince mentioned, he's like, yeah, we noticed that they had been having problems with their points after on film, that little low trajectory. And they put their 6'8 backup offensive lineman out there because of that. And they rolled it right, man. They knew they took a gamble and they hit it.
Well, it's not even a gamble. There's no gamble in putting, like, the gamble is to make the extra point like most teams do every time. So there's no gamble.
I guess you're right.
There's no downside to it.
But they scouted it well. They made a good decision. And we just didn't execute.
Just disappointing way to end it. Disappointing way to end the season.
It ended like that, man. It was like the highest of highs. Humphrey scoring that 25-yard touchdown, and then the lowest of lows right there. And then it was like, you can't do anything. I was like, I sat there, looked at the TV. I was like, but there's no but. It was just over.
No.
And you're just like.
Those ones are the most ones that, the moments that are like just pure disbelief. You're just like, did that just happen? How could that have happened? It's like, you're just like flabbergasted.
I don't know about you. I had a hard time falling asleep that night because it kept replaying everything in my head. I was like, I couldn't stop thinking about it. It was terrible. So,
what ifs. It was just a microcosm of the season. There's just what ifs, points left on the table. We had points left on the table in this game, and you just can't do that against a good opponent.
Yeah.
I don't know how good North Dakota State really is. They have played really well. I think they're a good football team, and they might just roll on to the national championship again. I don't know if they'll get through the rest of the side of the bracket, but they're good enough, and they've been playing well. They're a team that's been there before, and they when the things went didn't go their way in Bozeman, they figured out a way to come back and win the game, and got to tip your hats to them. But, oh, pain. Painfully. Pain.
Yeah.
That's it. That's a good way to end
it. There's got to be a part two to this episode because we're going to leave here feeling pretty crappy, but we'll talk it through later on.
I don't know we don't need to talk about this episode anymore or this game,
but we need to talk about the season.
Well, yeah. So we'll do a season recap and there'll be moments in there where we can talk about some more positives. But for this one, this game, I'm just disappointed and I'm still sad about it. It's going to take some time to heal. So I imagine we'll take some time off, maybe a week or two. I remember one time we waited like almost a month to do a season recap. That's not going to happen again. That was like one of our first seasons when hadn't really settled into the recording groove yet. We'll get it done, but we might take a week off.
Still have the brick episodes, the basketball episodes coming out weekly.
Yeah, that could be a long season. Keeping things positive over here.
All right, let's
get that going for us. All right. Well, thanks first and foremost to everyone who listened to us all season or who joined us along the way. We really appreciate it. It means a lot to us for tuning into us every week. Thanks for Gear Up Sports for being our awesome sponsor, as well as Wilbur Ellis for being our Golden Cooley sponsor. You can always find us on Twitter, RRCatCast. You can find us on the web, RRCatCast.com. You can find us on Instagram, RRCatCast, or pretty much everywhere with that RRCatCast handle. Foley, let's get out of here for the final time. Go Cats.
Go Cats.